It's always a joy and a blessing to be able to share the Word of God because we're the family of God. And if this is your first time here, I pray you feel welcome and loved because it's His love, you know. That's the main thing, is His love. It's God's love that He sheds it. He pours it into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's His love. So great, so wonderful. And I just love the time we have every Sunday where we can just linger in His presence, enjoy Him. You know, it's a joy being a Christian, not just a Christian, but a child of God, a son and daughter of the Most High. What a future we have. What a tremendous hope, a sure hope, not the kind of hope that the world gives you, but a hope that is sure and solid like a rock. You know, we're actually, you know, if you're a citizen of the USA or of some other country, we have a dual citizenship now in Christ, right? We're citizens of heaven. You think about that for a moment. We're going to get so many blessings, and even now we can enjoy some of them. But in heaven is where we're going to get our rewards for what we do on the earth, what we've done for the Lord. And I'm just getting more and more excited the older I get, you know. it's not over the hill. We're climbing up to Mount Zion, man. We're going up to Mount Zion where the King of Glory is, you know. So no matter how many gray hairs we get, you know, how we feel, praise God, what a future, what a joy. You know, my mom's 96 years old, and I've been taking care of her because my brother does that, my sister-in-law. And so I'm spending the week at my brother's house with her. And she always tells me, you know, son, wait till you get 96. And I tell her, no way, I'm not going to, I don't want to go, man, where the glory is, you know, be with the Lord. Like Paul said, it's better I go than stay, because man, that's where our real life is as citizens. And we're going to come back anyhow. When the Lord comes back, we're coming back down to reign with Him on the earth. Amen. I mean, there's so much with a new body now. Amen. With a new body. What a blessing. What a joy to know. No matter what kind of pains we're in, what kind of suffering we're going through right now, one day we're going to have a brand new body that's perfect like Jesus. Whoo! Man, if you don't get excited about that, what can I say? That Jesus loves you. Amen. God the Father loves you. And, you know, God, I was praying and just seeking the Lord on this. And I love the Old Testament. I love the Bible. But I love the stories of the Old Testament. I think last time I shared, I was talking about how, you know, the Old Testament is like the new concealed, the new covenant concealed, and the new covenant is the old revealed. Did you ever hear that? I think I got that right. Anyway, yeah, because we have the substance, but in the old covenant, it's all the shadows and the types. You know, like Adam was a type of Christ, and there's all these types that are revealed to us. Or Christ was a type of Adam, I should say. And I was looking this up, and what story? You know, I just love to go over the stories in the Bible, especially when Israel went through the wilderness. You know the stories of them going through the wilderness and what they went through. Because it says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about how it was written for us as examples for us that we would learn from them of what they did and how they, you know, I don't know if you read that right. You see, they really messed up most of the time going through the wilderness. And there's a couple of Old Testament stories I want to look at. But the first one is in Exodus chapter 15. And it's in verse 22. I'm going to read from there. But before that, let me just pray for a moment. Father, we thank You, Lord, for a blessed time together in You, Lord, with You and one another, Lord, in union together in the body of Christ. And I just thank You for everyone here this morning. And I pray, Lord, Your words are living and they're spirit. So I pray that today, Lord, that the living Word of God would go forth, that You would speak to our hearts today, Lord. And we pray, God, help us to receive what You have for us today. with open hearts and just apply it. Apply what you want us, teach us what you want us to know today. Because we know, Lord, we're going to be learning all the way till we get to heaven and even and more so. And I just thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father God, as we just gather together in the name of Jesus today and receive from you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in Exodus chapter 15, well, praise the Lord, we have it up on the screen. And so we can read it together. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Let me stop there for a moment. 3 days, when Moses and the Israelites were still in Egypt before they got delivered, Moses kept telling the Pharaoh, release us so that we can go 3 days into the wilderness to worship God. And it didn't happen, right? Until the last plague, when the firstborn of all the Egyptians died from the death angel. But so they got delivered. God set it up that the way he made the path for Israel to go through to the Red Sea was all God. He set it up to cause the Pharaoh and his army to pursue them, to go after them, because he was going to show the world what he was going to do, his great power. And what we know what happened, right? The Israelites made it through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army were swallowed up and killed. And that was all God. And so the children of Israel, I call them the children of Israel, after they got on the other side of the Red Sea, they were celebrating. They were celebrating. And if you just look at verse 21, that's part of the song they were singing. They were singing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. So here we see them. They're just rejoicing, so happy, so blessed. But then 3 days walking into the wilderness. And if you know anything about the wilderness, all the comforts of home are gone. It's very hot. It's very dry. It's a terrible place. It's nothing to comforting about it for our flesh, for ourselves. So it's very, very hard walking for 3 days without water. No water. Can you imagine that? No food or whatever they brought out of Egypt. But the point was, this was the Lord leading them through Moses. And so now it says, I'm going on verse 23. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter. Bitter water. Could be from the chemicals or the nutrients in the soil, in the desert, salt, whatever it was terrible. They couldn't drink it. So their expectation, they seen the water and they were so thrilled to see the water, okay. And they get over there and they can't drink it. What a horrible spot to be in. So what did they do? Right after this victory, what did they start doing? Grumbling and complaining against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? After God just delivered them through the Red Sea and brought them through, what shall we drink? They start complaining. They're crying out to the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. It says the people complained against Moses, saying what we shall drink. And so Moses cried out to the Lord. So the people were complaining, and Moses started to cry out to God. And what did God do? God showed him a tree. Remember, shadows and types, right? Most of us already know this, but some of you never heard it. But God showed him a tree, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. So God shows him a tree. And other translations say a piece of wood or whatever it is. But I like what New King James says. In King James, it says a tree. Now, do you know of any other place where a tree was? There's a tree in the garden, right? There's a lot of trees in the garden, but only one of them gave them life. The rest of the trees were good for food, and the other one, which I'm sorry to say, they ate it, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But that tree that I want to bring up it's in Galatians chapter 3. Like I said, the old and the new covenant. The old covenant, the Old Testament, New Testament. And it says in Galatians chapter 3, this is where I kind of tie it in. It says, Christ, who is the life, he's the life, right? Christ is our life. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You see the tree? The tree at Marah, at that water, he threw the tree in the water, and it became sweet. He threw it in it, and I believe it was a miracle. It wasn't some, I've heard different interpretations on commentaries that, oh, maybe it was just the chemical compound in the tree in the water that caused it to become drinkable, to fresh. But I believe the Lord just told Moses, you see that tree? Throw it in the water, and God did it. And it became sweet. Sweet meaning fresh, clean. And how sweet it is. Amen. And he says, there he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them. He tested them by giving them this ordinance, which is, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord your healer. But there was a condition on this that God gave them. And that's what he means by the test, to prove them. If they would hearken unto his voice. But if you go through the Bible and you go through the Old Testament, all the wilderness journeys, and this part of the journey is just the beginning. You know, there was a song out years ago by the group America. It said, on the first part of the journey, you know, he was in the desert and looking at all the rocks and things. And then what happened? Then it got hard. You know, so they're on the first part. They were so high and excited about their deliverance. And then 3 days later, they're complaining already to God. Where's the water? They're testing God. They're complaining. And that's something. But yet God did not get down on them. He didn't judge them. He just showed them where the tree was. He said, take that tree and throw it in the water. And bitterness. You know, you could look at that. You could look at them and see and think about, you know, not only what the water was bitter, but their hearts, the people's hearts were bitter. They were complaining. Bitterness, you know, it's something about bitterness. It's complaining and murmuring and just, you know, it's anger. It's where you're going to see in the next one where they got so angry, they were ready to throw rocks at Moses. It was the rebellion. It was just, it's a poison. Bitterness is a poison. It says in Hebrews about the poison of a root of bitterness. That poison can defile many people. And so God was showing them their hearts, because in the wilderness, we learn about ourselves and we learn about God. We begin to see ourselves of our true self, because God is the true reality. He's, you know, when we see him and know him, just like Isaiah, seeing the Lord high and lifted up, what happened to Isaiah? He fell on his face, and just said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. Because, you know, bitterness is just, it's God does not like complaining. He does not like all of that kind of rebellious, and we know that. So anyway, he said, I'm the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, verse 27, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. After the test, after that 3 days and what they went through, it was like they came to heaven, as far as, you know, all the 12 springs of water, wells of water, and 70 palm date trees, and it was a beautiful spot, an oasis. And so God blessed them there. And so the bitter water was made sweet. And you would think after this one, after spending some time at the Elim with the wells of water and the date trees and having some shade in the hot desert and everything, that their attitude might change, right? But as we go on, we're going to go on to another story in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 21. I want us to look at that. If you got a Bible, you can turn to it or you're on your phone, whatever. But chapter 21, let me see where it is. But here's a good story. I love this story because in it, it's such a picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And it says, verse 4, it says, "Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way." I don't know how long they were on that journey, but their hearts were just discouraged. And this is the wilderness. They go from water hole to a water hole, okay? They run out, if they take any container and but it's gone by the time they get someplace else. And it says, so they're discouraged on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." This was after, while they were in the wilderness, God fed them with the manna from heaven. And they're just downright ornery already. They're just so upset. Have you ever been in a position like that where you're so in a place, in a situation, you're so uncomfortable, you know, it just irks you. Or something happens to us. We go through bitter situations in our life that could cause us to have a spirit of bitterness and complaint and complaining about this, complaining about that. You know, I had the 4 years of bitterness in my heart when it came to politics. You know, I was complaining and I was, oh my Lord. And you know, you can ask my wife. I was watching this stuff and it was driving me nuts, man. And I was talking to people and I was talking to other Christians and I would get upset talking to them. What kind of spirit is that, right? We're not supposed to quarrel with one another. We're not supposed to get into a place where we're arguing. We're supposed to be gentle and kind and have one mind, one accord. But I was in that politics, man, and it was driving me crazy. And one day, the Lord heard my prayer. I mean, he's just waiting. And this psalm came to my heart, Psalms 37. He said, fret not when evil succeeds or something happens, you know, that you know is wrong. You know, when there's injustice and there's all kinds of evil in the world we go through, and God just said, "Hey, vengeance is mine. Release it." We're supposed to be praying for our leaders. We're supposed to, you know, lift up our hands without wrath and doubting. He calls all men to pray for your those in authority. Can you imagine that the days of Apostle Paul when he was in with Nero? Nero was the Roman emperor. He was slaughtering Christians, burning them on the cross, on the stake, and torturing them with feeding them to the lions. And Apostle Paul's, and Peter also, he said, pray for them. Pray for the leaders. Don't be always complaining to about what's happening with this. But take it to God, for he is the judge. We're supposed to be holding forth the word of life to people. And God, for Jesus on the cross, what did he say when they crucified him? "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There's a spirit in the world, an evil spirit of the devil and demons, and they working in people to cause havoc, to cause evil." And we have to understand our battle, our fight is not in the flesh, it's in the spirit. We're dealing with spirits. We're dealing with the kingdom of darkness, and we need to learn how to fight God's way. Amen? God's way. So the next time you get upset about the laws that are being passed, great, yeah, we should have a holy anger about, but it's not against flesh and blood. The only hope now that the world has is Jesus. There's no other, nothing that you can say to talk to argue facts with people or argue the law, what's right and wrong with people, that changes a person. It's only the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit working through that as we bring that to others that will change a person's heart. Isn't that how you came to the Lord? It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's his goodness and mercy. And as God opens our eyes to that, all the bitterness, all the junk, the cross, the tree, make the water sweet. Makes the water sweet if we allow it to. Because it's still a choice we have. So going back to the story, they journeyed from the Red Sea, and they were going around the land of Edom, and they were discouraged on the way, and they spoke against God, against Moses, complaining, and actually testing, challenge. I mean, just really, God, what'd you bring us out here for? To kill us? You know, to cause us to die in the wilderness? And this lousy manna from heaven? Man, couldn't you do something better? Later on, he sends quail, right? But complaining about God's provision in the wilderness instead of thanking him, instead of realizing God brought them through Egypt, and how many of us have come through out of Egypt, out of the world, into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ? Amen. I just, it's such an awesome thing. And he says, and he goes on, and so the Lord sent some judgment on them. He says, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Many of the people died. So why did he send the serpents again? What was it? What was the cause of that? What were they doing? Complaining? Yeah, complaining, no faith in God. I mean, just showing, you know. And they were just, God actually speaking so negative. What did you bring us out here for? To kill us? Praise God, we know, right? We know the goodness of God. God led us out of Egypt. And now this world that we're in, we're learning to walk and be led by the Spirit. It's like a wilderness because our real home, the promised land, is with our King in heaven. You know, while we're on this earth, we're going through trials. We go through tests. We go through difficulties. But praise the Lord, we have the reality of Christ. We have God, the Holy Spirit in us to comfort us, to help us, to work in us, to change us. And that's really what's going on. God is conforming us to his image and likeness. So they sent the serpents, bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. And I believe all of us have been bitten sometime by a serpent. Spiritually speaking, we were all bitten by, you know, through Adam, we all inherited the sin of Adam through his bite. It's because of him that death, sin came and death followed. And so the whole world, no matter if you didn't sin like Adam, everybody started to die. Everybody has death. Even the most innocent little baby times dies. So death is in the world because of the sin of Adam. And we all partake of that. We all have that. But because of Jesus, what happens here? So he sent the fiery serpents. Therefore, the people came to Moses. When they started getting bitten and started dying, then they came to Moses. And what did they say? We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord, against you. And pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Moses was the mediator. You know, originally God wanted everybody to hear his voice. But the people said, oh, we can't handle his voice. Moses, you speak through us at Mount Sinai. Let Moses be the mediator. So that's what he does. He's mediating through prayer. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord heard his prayer, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. How many times would you, I pray, Lord, take this away from me. Get me out of this place. I've sinned, forgive me, But these guys, they prayed that prayer, and what did God do? He didn't remove the fiery serpents. They were still in the camp. They were still all over the place. But God made that, fiery means, I guess it means poisonous. Poisonous snakes. And God put, Moses made up one out of bronze and put it on a pole in the midst of the camp. And when anybody got bit, all they had to do was look at it in faith. Well, you just have that hope, right? I'm bit. I'm going to look. And bam. As long as you did that looking part, that's an act of faith. I'm looking. And they were healed. God healed them and kept them from dying. What a lesson. What a lesson to learn. And why did he send the fiery serpents again? What was it? Complaining, right? Complaining and murmuring, complaining about God and about looking and making like God is evil. And then Moses also complaining about his delegated authority. Man, that was a heavy one. And so I want to give a New Testament scripture. And in John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, maybe some of you know this one already, right? But Jesus was talking to, I think it was Nicodemus, at one night when he came to him, one of the religious leaders. Do we have that one? Anyway, chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. I got it written up. He says, as Moses, he's telling this Pharisee, he's saying, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And verse 16 is the one we always quote, right? But the whole idea is that just like Moses lifting up that serpent, Jesus is comparing that to himself, saying, that serpent, looking at that serpent on the pole. And what does the serpent represent? You guys know that, right? It always meant evil, sin. In the Bible, in Isaiah, different parts of the Bible, through the prophets, God says you have the tongue, a mouth of a serpent. You talk like a viper. It's just deadly. It's poisonous. It's evil, right? But did you know that, the medical organization, they have a symbol. Did you ever see the symbol of a serpent on the pole? And some of them have two. There's two different. And did you know that those symbols to the world says that the serpent represents healing and renewal, like resurrection, because a snake sheds its skin? And did you also know this, that symbol is the one of the Greek mythology, of the Greek gods, of one of the gods. I think it was Mercury, and I forgot which one. But that's a symbol for the worlds, the false gods. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying doctors are bad or anything like that. I love them. I love nurses. I love all the compassion and what they're doing. I'm just saying that in the world, the ones that don't have God in the world, and the symbols they use, a lot of it has to do with past, like the Greek gods and different gods, false gods, and things like that. And actually later on in the days of Gideon, this symbol, the serpent on the pole, was in Gideon's day, and they were worshiping it. They were worshiping that thing. And you can do the same thing with the cross, the wooden cross. You can actually begin to worship the cross in a way that is not right. When I was growing up, I used to surf, and I grew up Catholic, and I wasn't active in the church or anything, but I was taught a few things, and that's how I got to know about Jesus. But whenever I went in the water, I always made the sign of the cross. But I didn't really understand what was going on with that. But it was just like a superstitious kind of thing, which was, yeah, just in case. There you go. Just in case something goes wrong, a shark comes. But anyway, the point of this is that the thing that God used as a tool for the people later on became an idol to worship. So you think about that and how things get, like, you know, gets mixed up and the enemy comes in and twists the truth. But as just like how Moses lifted up the serpent, so Jesus was lifted up on the cross. And it also says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And this is where, you know, Jesus on the cross. And the title of my message was The Great Exchange. The Great Exchange. Because it was at the cross that God laid on Jesus Christ all of our sins, all of our iniquity, everything, all of our disease, sickness. You can read that in Matthew 8 where it says that was to fulfill when Jesus was healing people. It fulfilled that word that by his stripes we are healed. He took it all at the cross. And he was slain. The Bible says he was slain from the foundation, before the foundation of the world. God had a plan all along. This is no surprise to God. He knew what was going to happen. And he provided. He provided for us. And he's still the God that heals. And he's still the one who took all the bitterness, all the pain, all the sorrow. Has anybody experienced sorrow in here and pain? I know you have. You know, all of us, we all have things in common in the suffering, the losses, and some terrible things we go through. But that tree can heal and make that water sweet. Make that water sweet. And that serpent in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says, "For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us." When this happened? When he was on that cross. When he was up the whipping post before that, by his stripes, the whipping post where his flesh was shredded. I mean, the Bible says his face was unrecognizable. And I got to share this just briefly. I had a vision when I was a young Christian, and I was praying, and all of a sudden I seen that. I mean, I couldn't get it out of my mind. It was such a just impact on me. I just seen this picture, clear as crystal, as I'm looking at you, of Jesus on the cross, hanging on the cross, close up. His face, I couldn't see. His face was blotted out, but just the outside of it, and on the cross. And I was so stunned and actually afraid, because it was something that I know I didn't make this up. I couldn't imagine this. And the point, I was praying afterwards, what does this mean? And the Lord showed me, every face of man is on his face. Because his face was so marred, it says, so bust up that he was unrecognizable. But it was actually, he took our place. He became our substitute. So is my face there on that cross. He took it that much that he took me personally, my face was there. That was me in him, crucified. He took every one of you. Every one of you, your face he was the generic, you know. I mean, he covered it all. The federal head, some people call him the federal head, like Adam was the federal head of the fallen human race, and Christ is the federal head of the new creation. Everyone who believes and comes to him and born again is a part of the new creation. So I seen that. And he says, he knew no sin. But he took our sin upon himself. He became sin. Not that he sinned, but he just took it and he was identified with us. And it says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He exchanged our sin. He took it and exchanged. We receive his righteousness. And you know what righteousness is, right? That sense of knowing him. I mean, having that, being made right with God, where there's no division anymore. There's no barrier. We come to him, believing in him, and we receive his righteousness. We are clothed with righteousness. So those are a couple examples of the types and shadows in the Old Testament, how we can look, and there's so many more. That's just two. There's so many more I could talk about, but I'm not. But what I want to do is just talk about Jesus. And I want us to look at Isaiah 61. Because in Isaiah chapter 61, it's all about Jesus. It's all about his ministry, of what he did and what he's doing today. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He's the same God. He hasn't changed. And he actually said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen God the Father if you see Jesus. And Jesus said, nobody can come to the Father except through him, through Jesus Christ. There's only one way. He is the way. So don't let anybody tell you otherwise, because the Bible's made it clear. He is the only way. And only in his name we are saved. No other name. No other religion. I've heard it said all religions lead to him, but that's not true. He said, whoever loves the truth will come to me. You love the truth today? I hope so. I pray that. I believe that's why you're here this morning. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And he said this, that, you know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm not going to go there. I just want to quote a little bit. He says, there's going to be a judgment, a deceiving spirit when the Antichrist comes that's going to deceive multitudes, and God will allow them to be deceived because they did not love the truth. They did not love the truth. They heard the gospel. They reject it. And they say, they didn't want to, after I don't know how, only God knows. I'm not here to judge anybody. But I'm just saying, when we hear the gospel, God says, don't harden our hearts like some, like those who were in the wilderness. They hardened their hearts against God. They would not submit to it and come to a place of faith in him. And so they died in the wilderness. That whole generation, you can read all about it in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. I'm not going to go there either. But what I want to read right now is chapter 61, where it talks about Jesus. He quoted this portion of scripture when he began his ministry, after he came out of the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, tempted of the devil, tried and tested in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the scripture he used when he went to his hometown in Nazareth and proclaimed that this is being fulfilled. It was fulfilled when he spoke it. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where the Lord stopped. He stopped right there, and he folded up the scroll, and he sat down. But I'm going to read on, okay? I'm going to read on for the rest of this portion. It says, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. This is the great exchange too. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Think about it for a moment. That's what God the Father has provided through Jesus, through faith and belief in him. He says, beauty for ashes. I don't know about you. My life was a bunch of ashes when I came to Christ. I had to go down so low till I finally said, Jesus. Out of desperation, I called upon him, and the Lord saved me. But it was a journey. It wasn't just everything changed all of a sudden. No, I went through some stuff on the journey, but God is faithful, and he taught me along the way. Amen. And he's there. I was so low, I was crying and just broken and mourning and sorrow. I just couldn't function. And I was on my face crying out to God. And God answered my prayer because all of a sudden a supernatural, I can say supernatural, I was crying and supernatural joy came on me. And I had a big smile on my face and I'm wondering, what is this? The sorrow, the mourning was over. It was done. And instead I had this joy. And did you know the joy of the Lord is your strength? We need the joy. And how do we get that joy? It says the Holy Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit that God produces in us. Joy. The kind of joy the world can't give us. Amen? Happiness is one thing. Yeah, we have some happy times, but there's a lot of trying times James, he says, chapter 1, verse 1. Count it all joy when you go through trials and testings. Count it all joy because it's perfecting us. It's making us strong and complete. You know, the mountaintop is one thing. Yeah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But when you're going through the valley of Baca, you know what that means? Tears. When you're going through the sorrow and the pain and the bitterness, he says, those who believe in God and continue, they go from strength to strength. And it's in those low periods that God is working, man. He's working. Paul discovered that when he was going through his persecutions and hardships, what happened? He realized, he prayed 3 times for that thing to be removed from him. God said, my grace is sufficient for you because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So then he started to glory. Paul said, now I'm going to glory in my weakness. I'm going to glory in whatever I'm going through and give God praise and glory in the midst of it. I tell you, this life is worth it all with Christ, because he said walk in the same footsteps that he walked in. Amen. He said walk in the same steps that he took. He said no man can follow me unless he take up his cross daily, deny self, take up that cross to follow him. And that's part of our spiritual growth we have to learn. Amen. We got to learn what that means. A lot of us, we look at that, oh, what does that mean? You know, we got to ask, pray and seek God and keep seeking, and God will show you. There's a cross in this life that we bear. But God is with us. And he said, be yoked with him. Take my yoke. Matthew 11, it talks about Jesus said, all you who are heavy burdened, weary, take. He said, come to me and I'll give you rest for your soul. And take my yoke upon you. You know what a yoke is? You get yoked. That's the old agriculture, or, you know, with the bulls and the pulling stuff, the oxen and pulling the plow and everything. They have one strong one and the younger one, and the stronger one takes most of the load, but the younger one is being trained. That's what the Lord's saying. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's what God wants to do during these times, through these hardships, through the difficult times. Yes, there's times of refreshing. There's times of just great joy and happiness. Happiness being because of the circumstances makes us happy when things are going our way and everything's right. But then when something goes wrong and say, wow, what happened? Why did this happen to me? How come I prayed for that parking lot at Ala Moana, Lord, and the other guy went and took it? What did I do wrong? You know, stuff. It's crazy. You know, we can start, what did I do wrong? Or why, Lord, why? But, you know, there's things that you want to know some things. Go read Job. See what Job says about what happened. You know? Go talk to the cloud of witnesses. There's going to be a cloud of witnesses right now. They're watching us as we walk it out. And what they went through. Read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and see what they went through. Yeah, they stopped the mouths of lions. They did all kinds of stuff, but the others were sawed in half. Others went through torture, everything else. But I tell you, God's grace is sufficient, because that's what true faith is. It's not about name it and claim it. It's about endurance. Endurance, giving God glory in the times of trial, that he approves us. And we prove to the world, we prove to everybody, I'm a child of God. I believe. That's genuine. I always just say, I want the real thing, Lord. I want the real thing. That's the real faith that we're learning. God gives each of us a measure of faith. And what we do with that faith, it's up to us. That's our choice. But faith is not some feeling. Faith is a commitment. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Come hell, high water, whatever. God has given me the promises. He's for me. Who can be against me? Amen? God is for us. He's not against us. And when we're going through the hardships like in the wilderness, don't be like the, we said, they were written down for our example. Don't be like them complaining and doubting. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 talks all about the same thing, how they did not enter the promised land. For the Israelites, the promised land was Canaan land. That first generation did not enter. Only two from that generation entered. Entered from that generation. All of them died in the wilderness, except for Caleb and Joshua, because they had a different spirit. Amen? So we're in this. This is a race, but it's not a sprint, man. It's an endurance race. And you got to go after what God, seek him and press in, because there are difficult times ahead. There are difficult times ahead. I don't know what's going to be happening next, but I know what the Bible says. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, all kinds of stuff happening all over the world. So just be ready. Be geared up, man. Be strong. The Lord says, what does the word say? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. One more scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Do we have that one? But, you know, I love this. I always quote this, the first part of this scripture. I love to think about this one. Philippians. Excuse me while I turn my pages, the pages. It takes a while. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. He says in verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, he's speaking to the Philippian church, Apostle Paul, and as not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I looked that up. What does that mean, fear and trembling? It means fear and trembling, okay? It means, yeah, there's a sincere reverence and fear that, you know, God is awesome. God is so great. He is love. But, you know, you read it, it says you can see the goodness of God and the severity of God. If you don't want to be in a place where you're getting the severity of God. So he says, for with fear and trembling, work out your salvation. It's something that we need to work out. You can look in 1 Peter, it talks about all that. But it goes on, he says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I love that. I quote that all the time. Because it's so many, you know, it's God. I always got to keep that focus. God is in my heart. God, Christ. Let Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. Let him live in me. You know, I surrender to you, and I keep you before me. And God is working in me both to will and to do. Both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And he goes on, verse 14, he says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining and arguing and about it and bucking it and fighting it. You know, we may not agree all the time. Am I right? We don't always agree on everything. But in the body of Christ, in the church, there's different interpretations of different scriptures and stuff. But that's something that we're growing into, and we need to learn what is God really saying. And there's theologians, we can look up commentaries about different things. But it's nothing to be arguing unless it takes away from the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we have to make we have to publicly make a stand against him. But when it comes to Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and the truth, the way, the truth, the life. We can all agree in that, right? Yeah, some guys, I know some of you guys, you probably believe that the rapture is going to happen before the, what is that, the tribulation, the great tribulation? Some of you believe that, right? Some believe it, oh, maybe in the middle, some at the end. I was looking it all up. I don't know, Lord. I mean, everybody has some good points, but I'm just going to be ready. He said, be ready, be ready, be ready. Be occupied with him, not with the world, not be complaining about president such or whoever, but just be ready and doing what he called you to do. Find out what he's working in you, both to will and to do. What does he have for you to do? We're not to be looking at somebody else and say, hey, wait, they should be doing that. What has God got you to do? What is he working in your heart? Because he's good. He's got something custom tailored for you in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So he says, do it all, everything, what we're doing, without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Is that true or what? We see it all around us. He says, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast and or holding forth the word of life. Holding fast and holding forth, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Brothers and sisters, don't complain. That's my whole message. Don't complain about this and that. You know, we're in America, we're so opinionated about this. We know it all. We know, you know, especially the teenagers. They know. But the thing is, we all don't know. And God hates pride and arrogance. We got to really humble ourselves and take God at his word. And one other big one is forgive. Forgive one another as he's forgiven us. Forgive each other. Don't hold. It means release it. Release it. And don't keep talking about that person or what they did to you or whatever. Forget it. Release it to God. Paul said, you want the God of peace to be with you? Think on good things. Think on virtuous things. Think on things that are, you know, God's ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. Man, he's awesome. He said, let the wicked man forsake his way and let the unrighteous man get rid of those thoughts. Abandon those thoughts. Unrighteous thoughts. Let the cross work in our hearts and lives, that what comes out of our mouth will be sweet. James said that, right? He said, hey, how can you have sweet water and bitter water coming out of the same spout? He says that in chapter 3. He talks about how, he said, that's not right. There's something wrong. That's weird. He said, you bless God and yet you curse men. So I'm about done. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I thank you, God, for your grace and mercies, for Holy Spirit in our hearts to produce the fruit of the Spirit. God, love, love, your love. Without love, we're just clanging cymbals. It says we're nothing. All our gifts, all our eloquence, all that, whatever gifts you may give us, it doesn't matter if there's no love in our hearts for one another, for you and one another. I pray today, Father, if this word speaks to our hearts, that we will be challenged to watch, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, my God, my strength and my redeemer. Let the cross work in my heart. Lord, teach us how to take up our cross daily, to put to death the old self that just complains and gets worked up over small things. God, I pray that today. And I know that through the wilderness of this life in many places, it becomes exposed. And Lord, you deal with it. You deal with it, Lord. Because to live is Christ, to die is gain. And whatever, God, as you taught us, Lord, we got to lay it down. Lay down the old, put off the old self, put on the new self. Keep our minds in the right place. Guard our hearts. Keep our eyes from looking at the wrong things, and we know, Lord, it's all about our heart. So I pray that today, God, your grace, your working, your power, in Jesus' name. Can we all stand? If you can stand, if not, that's okay. I'm closing right now. I just, I'm just leaving the front open. If you want to come up, you come up. If you need prayer, pastors are here to pray for you, pray with you, and. But we're going to just release everyone. And just think about it. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth if you have Jesus. And if you're here without Jesus, he's so close. He's so close. He says if you put your faith and trust in him, if you believe that God raised him from the dead and you confess him from your heart, Lord of my life, Lord of your life, he said, you shall be saved. You know, it's nothing we can do to earn his love. It's nothing we can do to earn his forgiveness. It's all done at the cross. Jesus did it all. Amen. He did it all. He calls us like that serpent on the pole. Look to him. Look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Laying aside every weight, every sin, lay it aside. And look to Jesus today and walk, learn to walk with him. Father, I pray a blessing now upon every soul here. I pray everyone, Father God, your hand upon us all, your peace, your power, your protection. And I thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this house over everyone, Father, that comes from you. And I thank you for a good week as we receive daily our daily bread from you, Lord. You are our bread and life in union with you. I pray that give us a heart after you for your word, for prayer, for fellowship. It's you who works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So I just bless everyone now in the name of Jesus. Amen.